Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Taylor, joined by Josh Brown.
Hello there.
And Ben Roy Taylor.
This is different.
It is, as my voice gave out saying, trying to say Ben Roy Taylor, but the show must go on. We can't restart it again. The software doesn't like me, but I don't care. We just thought we would have a bit of a chat on what sort of franchises need to come back next gen, because once you start thinking about it, there's an absolute ton. I kind of feel like across the 2010s or this generation that a lot of major companies just doubled down on the stuff that they knew would work and just kept doing that over and over again, hence the Ubisoft formula or whatever. So we put our heads together and thought of various franchises that it would be cool to see again. And I do need to address something with Mr. Benroy, that he hasn't really heard of Legacy of Kain, which I've not really...
What are we talking about again? This, like, old man stuff.
Gosh, mate, have you heard of Legacy of Kain, mate?
Yeah, but honestly, mostly just because of you. Like, I'd heard of it before, but no one else talks about it as much as you, Scott Telford.
Kain.
I know they're all words that I've heard come out of your mouth so many times.
As someone who has played many video games in my history,
I see
a great copy of it in GameStation or laying around somewhere else in like the back of a HMV, you know, that blue guy with the silly white eyes. But it just didn't, back in the era of when you looked at the case, if it didn't sell you, I've already got Kain in my life. The demon Kain.
You're doing corporate Kain.
Yeah.
We might get back to Legacy of Kain. I don't know if I can handle any more of that pain, but we're going to start with first-person shooter stuff because both Resistance obviously sat this generation out. Killzone had Shadowfall back at launch, and I did want to sort of roll in SOCOM as well. It's worth talking about shooters and through like the PlayStation lens, because obviously on Microsoft side, you had Halo, you had the Master Chief Collection, even though it took a few years for it to come together. But Josh, you've kind of got a thing to sort of mention with how PlayStation haven't really ticked the box of first-person shooters. They've just sort of ignored it.
Yeah, totally. Like, this entire generation, for as well as I think Sony have done, they have left a huge area of the market and a huge genre kind of underserved. Like you said, we had that Killzone way back at launch. It was literally a launch game, which was pretty decent, and for my money actually had quite a compelling multiplayer mode. But since then, they very much made their bread and butter this kind of almost open world, story driven, character driven, third person action adventure style game, which is awesome, and I think we've had some excellent titles come from that. But for me, it's time for either Killzone or SOCOM or Resistance or anything that can essentially, any franchise that can come in and fill this gap that they're just leaving, because we could have a really great, compelling, like addictive multiplayer first person shooter franchise on PlayStation 5. Like, it would be such a win, and it would be them kind of like accommodating for a market that they've just kind of given up. Even Microsoft, for considering they've got like Halo and stuff, they've also kind of moved away from it in general as well, which kind of makes no sense to me, because over the
maybe
past
not by
decade,
choice on their side though.
Well, yeah, maybe that's a part of it. Yeah, the lack of exclusives. But over the past decade, I feel like, you know, the first-person shooter hasn't really gone away. Yes, sandbox games kind of became the bread and butter of this generation, but we've still had huge successes. We've seen the genre kind of like diversify with the likes of Doom, Wolfenstein, games like that, alongside, you know, huge multiplayer hits like Siege, Warzone, Overwatch. And I just feel like, where are the big first-party games in this regard? I want them to come back. Bring back an established franchise, make it as good as it can be, and essentially do for that genre what Sony has done for these kind of third-person action games this gen. That's what I would like to see going into.
Benroy, you're a humongous Resistance fan, which, again, you message me, I'm the only person that reminds you of Legacy of Kain. You're the only person that reminds me of Resistance. I don't know who... Where that comes from.
So I have to admit that I didn't have a PS3 at the beginning of the generation, even though when I saw the adverts for Resistance Fall of Man, I was like, oh my God, this, World War II and aliens, I need this in my life. But my mother got me a 360. Thank you for getting me that. But I just couldn't play that. So I was stuck in the land of Halo and things like that. But yeah, I've never played much of the Resistance games, but they've always, even when I had the PS3, it's weird because I had it for a hot minute. I bought a PS3 for Heavy Rain. Get over that, everyone. And then I played Uncharted 2, not Uncharted 1, and then it just sort of fell away into the ether of my just life while I was back on the 360 playing like Modern Warfare 2 there and that sort of thing. Mm. And I just feel like a first-person shooter with like sort of like some real back into it, like just some real interesting sort of like premise, like Resistance, where man and everything literally we lose, and they take sort of certain historical events, like I can't remember the exact name of the meteor that crashed in Russia or wherever it was, or Siberia, but that actually happened, and that's a real thing. They turned that into an actual like event. I think it's just so cool. I love like alternative history. Like, I think that's why Wolfenstein has also really jived with me. And looking back at like this gen, first-person shooters as they were have been lacking, but then I was trying to think, like Prey is one of my most famous favorite games of the generation, even though it's more of an immersive sim, and you don't really, even though it, you're first person and you're shooting, you don't really call it a shooter
sort of. I guess in terms of like, because you're saying they're lacking, I guess in terms of like mechanical innovation, like for me, like playing something like Superheart, I was like, okay, this fundamentally changes what a shooter is, and they can kind of build something around that. But yeah, I like the idea of them bringing Resistance back. It's just, I never feel like with both Resistance and Killzone that they ever really caught on in the way that either of those companies wanted them to. Like obviously Killzone was marketed as the Halo killer, which just always has the reverse effect anyway. And then like Resistance, like it had like a solid run, but I think maybe a few people know the Chimera as like an enemy set and things like that. But then with SOCOM as well, like that was a nice, like, you know, militaristic shooter. I kind of feel like they could do a Rainbow Six Siege type thing with SOCOM.
Yeah. SOCOM, man, sorry, Josh, do you want to?
No.
I'll just say that series was done so dirty when the great PS3 outage of whenever it was, 2010, 2011.
Yes. 2011, I think.
Destroyed that game and basically killed the series. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, I remember the PS2 editions of, like, SOCOM. They were amazing. Like, I never got around to using the voice chat or using the online stuff. But they took that sort of, like, tactical squad sort of, like taking everything a lot more seriously, like what I really wanted from a game, and they brought that into it, and it was just so sad to see SOCOM basically fall in its ass and die. But I really want to know how sad you are about this, Brown.
Well, it's just like when it comes to these franchises, like Scott said, they didn't really have their time in the sun as much as they perhaps deserved. You know what I mean? They were solid experiences, but a lot of people didn't, you know, play them. They didn't think they were worthy of kind of like being called the Halo killer or whatever. But I feel like now Sony has this pedigree when it comes to their exclusives that they cultivated over the past generation, that they could put these games out or bring them back to much bigger fanfare. We've seen the likes of Days Gone, which I'm so buzzing that I've managed to bring Days Gone back into the discourse. You know, that game came out, it was a new IP. It didn't get amazing reviews, you know, like 6 and 7s out of 10, but it still sold well because the PlayStation exclusive brand is so solid. So I feel like now is the time to bring back a franchise like Killzone or Resistance or SOCOM or whatever. It would have a much bigger fanfare, it would be a much bigger deal. And I feel like it would get more attention just by association, because it's a PlayStation brand. It's already a known quantity. And at the moment, the best thing about PlayStation is their exclusives. And we've got this kind of whole library and whole culture, essentially, at the moment of, this is what Sony does. Pay attention every single time. It's a worldwide studios production. And I hope that if they do come back, they will be good and they will kind of have a bigger impact than they might have had 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. I would kind of hope, like, if they did, like, you know, they throw up the PlayStation Studios logo and it's like a PlayStation Studios first-person shooter for the next generation. You give it all the bombast, all that stuff that was initially sort of behind. Because when Killzone first came out, that was like 2004 or whatever, and it predated Modern Warfare's boom, the military boom that became the late 2000s and that whole direction for the genre. And I've never thought that Killzone had that many differentiable elements to make it an identifiable thing. Like, Halo had Master Chief and, like, you know, all these, like, the Covenants, all this backstory and lore and all these iconic weapons and all these sound effects and everything. And then Killzone was like brown and gray and kind of just lame. And I've played all of them, and Shadowfall, obviously they injected it with a lot of color, but it was kind of like, what do you even do with that franchise? How do you make it this identifiable thing. But, you know, if you start doing that too much, then you might as well just do a new IP. But yeah, I mean, I think in regards to these sort of three series, Resistance, Killzone, SOCOM, SOCOM for me has the most to gain a bit in regards to, like, they can play into the Siege mentality and sort of do, like you said, maybe like a free-to-play thing that's available for everybody. I must address the thing Mr. Benroy had written down, which is Kane and Lynch. You would like to see more Kane and Lynch. Why does the word Kane mean more to you in a Kane and Lynch context than the legacy of Kane?
So we all know what happened with this game with GameSpot.
No, we don't. No one played that.
I got it for my birthday, Scott Tilton.
I've also played both of them.
My grandfather bought me this. You respect this game. But apparently, according to IGN here, has true intensive and the most shocking, in the most shooters like, since. Like, they got IGN for this one, but not GameSpot. I wonder why. Sorry, I've been
very true. It's the legacy of Kane and, as I say, the legacy of Kane and Lynch, perhaps meaning more to some people than the legacy of Kane itself.
But the idea of Kane Lynch, the idea of like a gritty sort of like crime shooter where you're playing with another character in a mission that you don't know if you can fully trust throughout the whole sort of game. The sort of like the sort of bringing what we see in like crime movies and bringing it into that actual play and making it interesting, like especially the second one, how they took they made it look like you were being followed by sort of like a hand.
Like when you kill someone, that pixelates them out and stuff.
The found footage cam stuff. Like I thought, if you properly, if you really wasted someone, it was all blood as if you was almost watching what already happened. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to switch to the multiplayer, where the multiplayer was some of the most fun I've like had in a multiplayer.
To be fair, they totally did what Payday would go on to be known for first. Yeah. Like all the heist stuff, yeah.
Doing like playing with this sort of team of people and then just not knowing if you should betray anyone. I think there was nothing like it at the time, so I would always obviously try and destroy someone from behind, but like just let them grab the money, but then you were slower as you had the money and just bam in the face and then take all their shares. Like it was from top to bottom, it was trying to do new stuff, but I think because the first one was so rooted in sort of controversy and I think I can't really remember. I don't know if it just played naff or looked naff in certain respects, but it had the ideas. But it just
I wouldn't
wasn't,
say it played well.
It wasn't executed properly.
No, I mean the whole thing with the original game was obviously like connected to the Jeff Gerstmann controversy with him, like you know, reviewing it badly, being fired from GameSpot. It was a whole thing. But I always thought at the core of it, because it was IO Interactive, like behind the actual feel of the cover shooting, it never actually felt that satisfying either. And it kind of felt like you were making a cover shooter out of Hitman mechanics, which just I don't know, but the stuff that you said though, and especially on the multiplayer side, like there is maybe something to pull from. It's just that like the IP itself is kind of tarnished for some people.
I think there's something there. Like it's not a good couple of games. Like the first one especially is unbelievably bland. At least the second has that cool aesthetic, like Benroy said. But ultimately, I don't know, there's something to it. Maybe it's because I got it for a birthday and I have a lot of nostalgia for it. But I wouldn't mind if they made Kane and Lynch 3. I'd pop for it, right? If we're at E3 2021 and we get a high def version of like Kane's head, who I would barely even recognize, I would pop for it. You know what I mean?
Do you remember that movie that's going to be made as well with
Yes.
There was going to make a movie with who's the man who's in Die Hard? I can't remember his name anymore.
Bruce Willis.
Bruce Willis was going to be in it, and so was someone else. I can't remember who else was going to be in it.
I don't know. What even is this reality where people give it? What is this play? How do you? I'm literally breaking. How do you know more about Kane and Lynch and the Kane and Lynch movie than you know about Legacy of Kane?
It's an interesting crime franchise surrounded in controversy. It's
Legacy
history,
of
man.
Kane
it changed
written,
our industry.
It was written, no, it didn't. It got one of the most prolific reviewers ever fired, yeah.
That changed everything.
No, it didn't. Legacy of Kain was written by Amy Hennig, who went on to do Uncharted. It's a massive mythological Shakespearean vampire
she
drama.
She finally found some really good success for Uncharted. I don't know what she did.
Oh, I do, and I'm the only one who knows, but it's a bad time. The comments will surely let us know that Legacy of Kain still matters, hashtag. Yeah. Anyway, next one down was Silent Hill. Now, obviously, we had the PT thing. There was the whole teaser that was potentially going to go on to become Silent Hills. But the franchise itself has completely sat out this generation, but seems to be impending something extremely soon. There's just so many rumors. There's so many potential teasers. Do you guys think it is going to come back? And two, do you think it's true that Sony have locked it down as a PlayStation exclusive?
I've invested too much in the rumours for it to not be true at this point, Scott Tilford. I'm going to have to spit a fake news narrative, even if it gets completely debunked, because I want it to happen so much. I need it to come back. Like, we had the teaser of PT, like you just said, which got my hopes up and then dashed them. And then this new set of rumours that apparently is going to be, you know, the original team back creating something new, you know, harking back to the originals, but not being a straight up reimagining like Resident Evil 2. And it's going to be exclusive. Like, yes, give me this franchise done well. It's been sitting out for, like, what, 15 years now-ish, maybe even more. It's been a long time.
Which one was the one that was exclusive to Wii?
There was a lot of guff that came out even after that exclusive to Wii One. They had a top-down dungeon-crawling shooter version of that game. Book of Memories, or Shattered Memories, or something like that. But after The Room and then that Wii/PlayStation 2.
There's Downpour as well. One of them's really good. One of them's the one where the guy rings you on the Wiimote and it's you got to take phone calls. That's a really cool idea.
So The Room was the first one that was kind of people like, oh, do we know this is good? And then there was Downpour. And then after that, it kind of just fell into a pit of despair. Like, PT is great, and I still look it on my PlayStation because I can't re-download it because sadly I had to delete it because I changed hard drive, so it's gone forever. Ooh. But if you bring Team Silent back and just get them to do the first game, or maybe the first three games, you could probably do a one game per. Like, you could probably get away with selling those games individually if they were done proper, especially the first one being a PlayStation 1 game. But if you, in this sort of climate where horror seems to be selling again, especially if it's marketed properly, and with the name Silent Hill, and with the buzz that seems to just be stewing around it forever and ever, like the Kane and Lynch franchise, it's just, it's going to, at one point, have to blow at some point. Like, Konami are just sitting on pachinko machine licensing at the moment, and they could have so much more if they just shared it with Shuhei or Jim Ryan or everyone, just put it on everything. If it was a Switch exclusive and it looked half decent, I would be happy just because I feel like it's... We always want new things, right? We always this podcast is about bringing back old stuff, but at the same time, things like Silent Hill should be forgotten because it was such a turning point in survival horror with Resident Evil 1 and 2 and 3 sort of thing. Like, it was just a moment that needs to sort of be sort of not respected, but just come back in a way.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
No, it does. I mean, like, it was always the two. It was Resident Evil and Silent Hill. They're the two pillars of horror in gaming. Like, it's just, it's kind of ludicrous. I mean, Konami have a whole separate thing to answer for. Like, where the hell is Castlevania? What the hell have you guys done with Metal Gear? Because Metal Gear Survive does not count as a thing this gen. And it's like, yeah, Konami are a whole separate body of titles that just need to have something done with them. It's long overdue.
As a franchise as well, it's so malleable, yet it's sort of become trapped in this formula, especially after like they switched developers and they started just pumping out these kind of third-person, more action-orientated games. Like, we've seen a franchise like Resident Evil survive because it has reinvented itself over the years. We had the original games, and we had 4, then we had even the Ventures into 5 and 6, then it was rebooted into first person, then we've had the remakes, you know what I mean? It's really malleable. And I think the Silent Hill franchise is even more so. You can do so much with that. You can have spin-offs that, like, just dive into the pure creativity and horrific imagination of this setting that can facilitate whatever you want to do. If you want to go first person, if you want to go role playing, if you want to go, you know, I don't know, like a classic action game or something, you can do so much with it. And yet they're doing nothing with it. And I think that's what sucks. Because like Ben Roy said,
hey, they made a pachinko machine, mate. Don't worry about it.
They made a pachinko machine and they have probably farted out some crappy HD remakes on last gen consoles.
Also,
yeah, like Ben Roy said, it's such a name, it's such a respected pillar that not everything has to come back, not everything has to be pounded into the dust, but there's so much potential in this franchise that for me just hasn't been fulfilled. We have 1 and 2, which are, you know, exceptional. 2 is one of the best games of all time, in my opinion. But even after that, like 3 was pretty good, 4 was all right, but there's so much potential to have excellent game after excellent game after excellent game that we only just started tapping into before it was rudely taken away.
And also the HD collection, like releasing them broken, not having the fog in Silent Hill 2. So you could see the edge of the game, and they never patched it on 360. So PlayStation got a patch and it was fixed. 360 was just left in the dust to die, sort of thing. Like, I just think that throwing it in the bin, man. Like, there has been so many Silent Hill games, like after like the first three as well. It's just crazy how they can do so many and just crap them out, poop them out as they come along, and then just really muddy it through the dirt. And then we almost got it. It's weird because we almost got it back with PT, and sure, it probably wouldn't have been like that Silent Hill that we all would have loved, because Kojima would have done his own sort of thing. But I just think in some way, like, just the first two were phenomenal. I really love this third as well, because that just ruined me when I was younger, like renting that from like as a Blockbuster and playing that like the middle of the night. Just no.
There's like a full on like cerebral horror side to Silent Hill that I feel like, because the thing is, I really wanted to see what Kojima had planned, because there's obviously the PT demo, but then they put out that other CG trailer where it was like the guy walking through the corridor and the door was like bleeding and the walls were bleeding and everything was kicking off. And I was like, I want to see what is in Kojima's mind when it comes to horror, because he still put a bunch of those ideas in Death Stranding. And I'm just like, okay, like someone like him, I forget what you call the horror artist who's potentially tapped in working on this.
Junji Ito.
Yeah. And it's like his stuff, like you look at a lot of his body horror stuff, and it's like those two together would do something so creepy and so brilliant.
And bring the composer Yoji, I think it's Yamaoka, like bring him back as well. Like when he was ditched off as well, just before Team Silent were binned off, it's sort of thing like that whole pot together was just so perfect. And it's like, sure, there was a down point for horror, and like we saw where Resident Evil went into more of an action sort of base with 4, and that sort of like what sort of spurred them to do the same, but they just did it poorly. But with Silent Hill, you can almost do anything, because once you go into Silent Hill or go into that dimension, like, you can just, whatever you imagine, just not always half-naked nurses, but whatever you can imagine can be a thing. It's it's money on the table. And also, I'm just going to say, the first movie is half decent.
I like the first movie, to be honest. I've always held that up as one of the only video game movies that's actually good. Haven't seen it since I was a kid, but it was good. But I think, actually, I was going to say, speaking of the movie, though, that that theme that they wrote for the movie tends to be thought of as the Silent Hill theme, that piano piece.
Yeah.
And I would love them to do what Mortal Kombat 11 did. And because for the longest time, Mortal Kombat was like, oh, the movie's over here and the games are over here, and the Mortal Kombat theme is like not us. And then eventually with MK11, they finally admitted that like people love that theme. And they put it on a trailer and all of a sudden it's, you know, it was a thing. And I would love Silent Hill to embrace that as well, because I love that piece of music. The next game down is the one that literally nobody cares about, which is Splinter Cell. I don't even know what that is, to be honest. Sam and Kane Lynch.
Something about fishing about. Is it a fishing game or something?
I can't tell, to be honest. But yeah, these thoughts also echo what it must be like to work at Ubisoft when talking about Splinter Cell, because what the living hell is going on with that series? Do you guys actually think there's any way that it can come back? I've just given up at this point. I actually don't really want it anymore.
Given up, completely given up, Scott. You know what I mean? It's almost become, you know, in terms of our videos, I remember when I realized that we were just saying the same things about like the next Batman Arkham game. Rumor after rumor. And I got to a point where we did like 100 videos. And I was like,
we couldn't tell little Ewan to not do it though. His little heart was resting on it.
Well, it was always something interesting there, an annoying nugget of interesting info. And I feel the same with Splinter Cell. Every single time a new little tidbit comes in to tease me with Sam Fisher on the other end of the reel, it sparks the old receptors in their brain that gets me interested. But ultimately, I'm like, just put me out of my misery. Like, just tell me it's never going to happen and I'll be okay with it. Like, not everything has to come back. If you're not going to do it, then just stop putting Sam Fisher in other games and teasing me. That's all you have to do. Just put him to bed. Let him retire in peace.
Because this has never been done before. Like, we've never seen the character has been in Wildlands DLC. Then they had their own expanded DLC in Deep State. Then they had the anime, like, teaser thing for Rainbow Six. Then they renamed him, so he's called Zero. And he's also going to be in the Netflix TV series. So it's just like, I don't know what that is. I don't know what that is. Either they're building awareness or they're testing the waters to be like, does anybody care anymore other than me? Maybe it's a legacy of Kane situation, building towards a big reveal. Like, either it's Splinter Cell is still a thing or it's absolutely not anymore.
What are they doing, man? It's just, they didn't just put him in Wildlands. They brought Michael Ironside back, someone who had been retired from the role after all these like issues that he's had as well. And then you're like, well, this has got to be it. He's referencing Solid Snake and how he's the only one who does it anymore. And then just you listen to that and your heart hurts a bit. You're like, you tingle.
Well, he goes off to do a mission. Come. Like, he leaves that DLC to be like, oh, I'm going to go get like a nuclear bomb that's missing or whatever. Doesn't do it. Just forget about it.
Perhaps that was going off to Rainbow Six Land, or perhaps it was going off to that really dodgy phone game that Ubisoft put out.
Oh, Elite Squad. I even played that because I was like, I want to see what he's up to in Elite Squad. He's up to nothing. You tap him a few times and he wins. It's not really anything.
It'd probably come back at one point, but like what you should do if you break up with someone, like delete them off Facebook, just mute them on Twitter, saying stop giving them the time of day and they'll eventually want the attention. They'll come back to you. But I think at this point, you've just got to have the breakup with them and just let them be.
This is very much like Splinter Cell. We've done the breakup. We'd mostly accepted that it was over, and then Splinter Cell's the one getting back in touch, going, "Hey,
they got a job across the street from you on the other side of the office now."
Can't go a day without seeing them, mate. I can't stop thinking about them, but at the same time, they're not coming over, so I need to make a clean break. It's a horrible situation to be in. And the other ones that we had written down, which we can sort of rattle off very quickly, were Burnout, Prince of Persia, and Ben Roy. You mentioned the James Bond games. Burnout, I feel like because they remastered Burnout Paradise and it got to the top of the UK charts, maybe that would come back. Prince of Persia, we had the remastered thing that Ubisoft put out, but it did look terrible. And then the James Bond stuff. Do you feel like EA would go back to being 2000s EA and actually do the James Bond license justice in game form again?
I think Activision might still have it, or maybe it's now finally released in the ether. But I think a lot of the problems come from Daniel Craig saying that he wants to slit his wrists. Like, stuff like that really affects the
Bond. He's done two films since then, though.
Yeah, I mean, like, he's pretty much like, oh, what a slip of wrist. Oh, billions. Oh, yeah, sure, I'm fine. It's just,
no time to quit.
No, not at all. I don't know if you see that film anyway because of, but like, Night 5, for example, like, oh, like, I would say that was like the golden eye of the PlayStation 2 for me. Like,
ooh, when I, Agent Under
when,
Fire.
When Agent Under
What? That was first? I'm with you on both.
You had fake Pierce Brosnan face and you didn't have Pierce Brosnan voice. At least in Nightfire, you had Pierce Brosnan's face. But like, it just came at like such a right time. And then I didn't play so many of the Craig ones that came after. Like, I did play the GoldenEye like reboot-y thing.
Bloodstone was brilliant.
I never touched it. Like, I think that came out when I was at university or just in moving like out into London, like, you know, just starting a career, like too busy to play everything sort of thing. Kane and Lynch, it's never left me. But I think that there's scope for it, man. Like, slap Daniel Craig's face on it, or slap the next Bond's face on it, or even they've done really inventive things like the Legends games, where like, screw it, we're just going to get a bunch of villains and bring them all into sort of a plot. Or yeah. GoldenEye Rogue Agent, where you don't play as James Bond at all, you play as some sort of like sleeper cell agent who's controlled by Goldfinger, Scaramanga, Dr. No, and all these other villains, and in this plot to take over the world. You can do such interesting stuff with all the legacy stuff, or do something new, like in Everything or Nothing, which is...
Which is the best one.
It's Pierce Brosnan's final film, isn't it? Because he got ditched off because dying of a day, because not of anything he did, but because of all like the bloody CGI surfing down a sort of like wave sort of thing.
Oh, he definitely did that. That was all him. Yeah, that's just what he did. And they filmed him.
He personally chose that and the dodgy storyline about how North Korea wants to destroy the world sort of thing.
Yeah.
But
and he wanted an invisible car.
I think not one every year, like EA did for a while, or Activision did one every few years. Like, you know, maybe two a generation, or give me one sort of thing. Just
I feel like we remember these times. I feel like if you're growing up, and say if you were born towards the late 2000s and you're growing up being a young little teen and everything, you'll not realize that James Bond used to have this massive footprint in gaming, that like there are so many titles that we can cite, first person shooters, third person things, that just, they have a legacy. And like, it just, yeah, it's weird that there was a time when EA used their powers for good. The Simpsons game, James Bond stuff, Lord of the Rings, like all these things that used to be done so much better. I hope James Bond would come back. Josh, do you want to see a future for War Bondy?
Absolutely. Like you two, I played those games growing up so much, like just absolutely hammered them, especially From Russia With Love. I really loved And Everything or Nothing. They were like my two favorites. I like the third person ones over the first person ones, but I feel like when we talk about it now, a part of me is like, that'll never happen. That's so antiquated. That's so outdated. But then I think about it, like Bond's still like a huge brand. Like it makes billions at the box office. And at the same time, we're getting an increase in licensed games that are done really well, like Lord of the Rings games. I wouldn't have expected them to be made. We're getting a Harry Potter game. We're getting Gollum. We're getting Marvel games. We've got the Avengers. We've got Spider-Man. So why not Bond? Bond is just as viable as all of those. And yeah, like the character might be a little bit outdated now, but he still brings in a lot of money, and he's perfect for a video game. Like his adventures translate over so well. So why not bring him back in a proper, authentic way and make money off it, you know? We can have a good time as Bond game fans to have a bit of a resurgence, even if they only remaster like Nightfire or something. I think the way nostalgia is at the moment, I think that would sell as much as a Tony Hawk's Pro Skater or a...
Well, I tell you what, considering, you know what I mean? I don't think EA have got in on the... Well, I guess they're doing the Need for Speed Hot Pursuit as their first attempt at this new level of remakes. So it could be. I mean, I think something like Nightfire would be a really good shout, especially with online multiplayer and everything. But yes, let's talk think down in the comments below, which sort of franchises have been sitting in out in the cold for way too long, and do you want to see come back next generation? For now, I've been Scott from what? No, that's the end of the video. That's the wrong ending. I don't care. Leave this in. I'll keep going. This has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Ben Roy Turner.
Kane Lynch.
And Josh Proud.
Goodbye.
And we'll Kanye West. We'll can you next time. Bye, though.
See you later, everyone.
See you later.
Good.
Bye.
Love that.
Would you put glasses on?
3 into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.